Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you want to learn to play the guitar like a pro? How about managing your emotions like a pro? Wouldn't that be nice? There's a ton of top quality courses available at thegreatcoursesplus.com/brain. Sign up today and get a free month of access to their entire library.
Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I am here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on this show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. Okay, I got a couple of things to talk about today. One of them is in the form of an email, as they all are. I know longtime listeners are thinking, you always read an email. It's always about an email. Of course it is. So let me continue and just read you the email that I received, and we'll see where it goes. It says, "Hey, Paul, thanks for your podcast. I appreciate it and listen to the relevant episodes nearly every day. If possible, could you do an episode on the fear of failure? I seem to carry it with me in whatever I do, whether it's trying to advance in my career, trying to adopt healthy habits, or lose weight. I'm obese and taking care of other medical issues, my hobbies, my passions, just everything. I talked with my therapist, and together we determined that my mom's failure on me is something that I've embedded into myself. Everything I've begun has ended in failure, so I don't even try things anymore because I know how they will end. I recognize this is a super irrational way to think, and it's something about starting point when I want to make changes in my life. So I would really appreciate your thoughts on this." Okay, so thank you so much for writing this, and I know what you mean. I've been through this myself. I've been through a period of time where, why bother? Because it's not going to work out anyway, or I'm just going to fail. I just don't have the intelligence. I don't have the resources. I don't have the energy. Whatever it is for you. But I love how you talked with your therapist, and he or she determined that your mom's failure is something that you've embedded into yourself. Now, you didn't tell me what your mom's failure was. You said, "Together we determined that my mom's failure on me is something that I've embedded into myself." Does that mean that your mom believes that you are a failure, or that your mom failed in raising you? I don't know. So that might be a missing piece of information that might be helpful, but we don't need it. We can just go forward with perhaps some other thoughts on this. I can give you my perspective. I have learned that a lot of people see failure as negative. They also call things failures when they're not really failures. So I would like you to define failure in your life. What does that mean? And what you'll probably say is, well, I start a job, for example, and I'm there for a few weeks, and then I'm either fired or I quit, or I get tired of it, or I get burnt out, or the people don't like me, or I don't like them. And so I have to leave. So using that example or something like it, the very first question that I have for you is, who are you trying to impress? I think failure often comes with a version of that question. Who are you trying to impress? You might be trying to impress yourself, or like you said, you may be trying to maybe subconsciously impress your mom, or if she's alive, you may be trying to consciously impress your mom or subconsciously impress her from afar. Unless you live with her, then that might even be even more of a possibility. But are you trying to impress anyone? I mean, ask yourself that question. When you start something, are you trying to impress someone? If you're not trying to impress someone, then we can go to another question. But if you are trying to impress someone, my next question, really complicated, why? It's not that complicated, of course, but why? Why are you trying to impress this person? Maybe you said, I'm trying to impress myself. I'm trying to impress me. I want to be better. I want to gain more. I want to make more. I want to do more. And I'm just trying to impress myself. Well, same question. Why? Well, I want to feel like I've accomplished something. I want to feel worthy. I want to feel important. Why? Throwing these at you because I want you to dive deeper than you normally do. Why do you want to feel worthy? Why do you want to feel important? I mean, this is just a scenario. I could be leading you way off and you don't feel this way at all, but let's just take this path for a moment. Why do you want to impress someone? Why do you want to feel important? Why do you want to feel worthy, if that's what you're thinking? And after you answer that question, for example, you might say, well, I want to feel worthy because I never felt worthy, or I don't feel worthy to anyone, or I think I'm a loser, or I think people think I'm a loser. Okay, if people think you're a loser, one of my favorite questions comes up, which is, how is that a problem? How is it a problem that somebody thinks you're a loser? Do you know how many negative reviews I've read on this show? I've read quite a few. I mean, I don't get that many, thankfully, but when I do, they can sting, and I'll read them on the show. I don't read all of them on the show, but I read a bunch because I'm all about putting myself out there in my most vulnerable state. And when we put ourselves out there in a very vulnerable state, our walls are down, our guard is down. It's still there. We have a guard and we have walls, but we lower them to show people our true imperfect selves. And if you are out there showing your true imperfect self with all your faults and all the problems that you think you are and you have, then all judgments that come your way will be based on actuality instead of an implanted perception. And what I mean by that is some people go through life trying to plant perceptions in other people's minds so that they think better of us. I speak from experience here. I did that most of my life. I wanted to implant perceptions into other people so that they would think better of me, so that they would like me, so that we could stay friends, so they think I was cool, so that they would include me in things, on and on. This was very much a people-pleasing personality quirk or trait, and I did that most of my life. I tell you what, doing that, implanting perceptions in others, whether you know you're doing it or you don't realize you're doing it, will burn you out and make you feel like a failure. This is only one angle of what you're asking me today, but this is an angle that's important to absorb, to understand, that when you put yourself out there and you choose not to be authentic, you choose to implant a perception so that people see you in a certain way, what they're going to do is have, I mean, everyone has judgments. They're going to have judgments against you that aren't based on reality. And so what I mean by that is we put up a false front, we wear a mask, and what they have to do is interpret what we are trying to put in front of them, you know, this version of us, they're trying to interpret who we really are at a deeper level. Or they see a version of us that they think they know, but it's only the version that we've painted for them, so it may not be complete. Well, it's usually not complete. So the version that we've offered to them is incomplete. And when it's incomplete, they have to fill in the blanks. When people are left to fill in the blanks, instead of showing them our authentic selves and behaving in a way that is in alignment with us and not necessarily trying to cater to someone else or what we believe they want to see in us, we end up failing in life. I mean, that is a general failure of showing up in life. So if you aren't showing up in an authentic way, which is a very scary, vulnerable place, I know, then what you're doing is setting yourself up for failure almost right away. And let me give you an example of that. Your first day on the job, you show up as trying to look confident, intelligent. You're implanting the perception that you know what you're doing. You are happy all day long. You're wearing a smile. And all of this that you're putting out there into the world, if all of that isn't true, if you don't feel confident, if you know that you're not maybe intelligent in certain areas of the job, and maybe you're not happy throughout the day, maybe you got stressed out at one point, all of this that you put out there, what it does is it creates resistance in your body and in your mind. I call it resistance in your system. It creates a resistance in your system because what you're doing, just to break it down to one component, you're putting on a fake smile all day. Imagine that person that works on the sales floor somewhere that has to put on a fake smile and be happy and chipper to everyone that he or she meets all day long when they don't really want to do that. I can't imagine that most people are just happy and chipper and can be that way all day long without it affecting them in some way. Because people need a break. You need time to yourself. You need time to re-energize. And some people aren't happy all day. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes you have a tough client or a difficult customer, and you just don't want to put on a smile for the next one. You know, depending on your situation, if you work with customers and clients. And when you feel like you have to put on this false front or this fake smile, you're setting yourself up for failure. Now, I know what I'm saying is kind of scary for some people because of job longevity, i.e. they don't want to get fired. They're told to be happy. They're told to not be stressed out in front of customers or clients or on the phone or wherever. We're all told that there are rules that we have to follow in the job world. And when we don't follow those rules, there's a chance that we won't stay there. I'm not going to say that you should suddenly start changing and be authentic every single place in the world, because sometimes it's not appropriate. If you're happy and you're at a funeral, probably not appropriate to show all your happiness there, but it could be. I mean, there are some people that say, hey, look, I don't want anyone sad at my funeral, so I want you to be happy. I want you to celebrate my life. And that could be an appropriate response or behavior in the context of what's going on. But you know what I mean? Sometimes there are times where you really do have to reserve the behavior or the person that you want to be in that moment. And you'll just have to make a judgment call every time. And of course, sometimes you have a job that you have to show up in a certain way and you don't want to get fired, so you show up in that certain way. I'm not saying that you have to quit that job or change your path. I'm just here to highlight that when you do things that you don't feel like doing, and when you are someone that you don't feel like being, you develop resistance in your body and you carry that resistance around until the point of failure. What I mean by that is you're going to have certain emotions, certain feelings regarding how things go throughout the day. And if you are holding back stress and anxiety or sadness or even tiredness. You just want to yawn and you can't because there's somebody in front of you and they'll think that you're tired of them or bored. I mean, all these little things that we do in front of other people or not in front of other people, or to try to impress people, like the question that I asked earlier, when we keep doing it and we are feeling that resistance inside of us build, which is basically a conflict of what we're doing and what we want to do, meaning you want to do something else, but instead you feel like you have to do this instead. That's a conflict that builds resistance inside of you. You carry around this resistance, you build upon this resistance, it compounds, and by the end of the day, you're exhausted. Can you relate to this? I can relate to this. I did it for many years, like I said. So what is the solution to this? How do we get past it? How do we do it without losing our job? Sometimes you can do it without losing your job. Sometimes you can't. But this can go deep. This can go back to, like this person said, your mom or your dad or someone in your past that it rubbed off on you because of the way they showed up in life. Or perhaps this person's mom thought that her daughter was a failure or that she herself was a failure. So those thoughts and behaviors were passed down either through role modeling or some other way. But if you're dealing with any fear of starting things because you know you're failing, there are some things that I've recommended before that I'm going to talk about in a moment, and also some questions to ask yourself, like, who are you trying to impress? And there's other questions that I'm going to ask you too. And when we come back, we're going to go over those and figure out if we can get past this fear of failure. Because if you can get past a fear of failure, then you're going to be willing to try anything, no matter how many times you fail, because failure won't be not an option. It will be a stepping stone that helps you get to the next place in your life. And all I mean by that is failure kind of disappears when you stop implanting perceptions in others and yourself. You stop setting expectations that you probably won't be able to meet or keep, and you start showing up as your beautiful, imperfect, full of faults self, so that you can be free of all this resistance and stop carrying it around with you. Because once the conflict is gone inside of you, once the resistance is gone inside of you, and you stop thinking about how others perceive you, and all you're thinking about is how comfortable you feel in your own skin, no matter how you look, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, as soon as you get comfortable in your own skin and you're comfortable with the opinions and perceptions of others, nothing holds you back. I've gone through this transformation, and I'll share some of that when we come back, and hopefully we can get through and past a fear of failure so it never plagues you again. I'll talk about that in a minute. I've never felt as excited as I was when I watched How to Play Guitar Like a Pro on the Great Courses Plus. And I'm not very good at electric guitar, but I went right into How to Play Guitar Like a Pro just because I wanted to play better. I mean, I thought, okay, you know, I have access to these courses. Let's take a look. Let's see if there's a guitar course. And I found one, and it felt really good. It felt really good to be able to see a lesson, follow that lesson, and have results right away. And I've watched so many other videos online. I mean, everything online wasn't meeting me at my experience level until I found the Great Courses Plus. You're guaranteed to learn something amazing and wonderful and valuable. So that's why I love endorsing the Great Courses Plus. And I want you to take advantage of their free month, because when you sign up, you'll get a month free of their entire library of courses. That means in a month, you could finish as many courses as you want. If you wanted to do it that way, I highly recommend you sign up, check it out. There's just so much available. They're updating the library all the time. I've watched some courses in woodworking, which I also love. I'm enjoying that as well. And there's a course I'm going to recommend to you, which is called Cognitive Behavioral Therapy for Daily Life. If you don't know what CBT is, it's often used to help with anxiety and stress. And I mean, that's just a couple of the many, many conditions and emotional states that it deals with. But there's a couple of specific lectures I'd like you to check out in the CBT for Daily Life course, which are, and these are titles, Worry, Rumination, and Sticky Thoughts, those thoughts that won't go away. And the other one is How to End Insomnia and Finally Sleep. Those are available. The courses I'm taking are available. It's worth it just to head over to thegreatcoursesplus.com/brain and sign up and check out what they have. Get your free month. It's so empowering to learn something with purpose and know that you can do better and feel better and be better. And there's just so much fascinating knowledge that you can tap into. So again, visit thegreatcoursesplus.com/brain. Sign up, get your free month, and get the mobile app so you can watch or listen on the go. I mean, you can listen to any course that they offer, which is helpful if you need your eyes on something else. This is really a great service. I want you to check it out. Head over to the website, thegreatcoursesplus.com/brain. And while I got your attention, life is all about balance, and I believe that play is just as important as learning, which is just as important as working, which is just as important with the relationships in your life. But playing is a vital part of it. I got to teach my girlfriend this. Playing is important. It is important to maintain balanced levels in your life. My girlfriend wonders why I'm always so calm and peaceful. It's because I give myself time to play. I mean, I was just telling you about playing my guitar, but it's also nice to just really let go and play a game like Best Fiends. If you've heard me talk about this before, you know I'm a fan of Best Fiends. It is an enjoyable mobile puzzle game that's free to download. It has over 100 million downloads for a reason. This 5-star rated mobile game is a must play, and you will always have something to do in this game. Seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom doesn't stand a chance. Hours of fun, casual gameplay. When you're in one of those long lines, it just seems to go faster playing this game. So check it out. They're always updating. There's 5,000 puzzle levels and counting. And don't be surprised if you end up kind of obsessed. In a good way. This is a good obsession because you can put it down anytime. But I think you'll enjoy it as much as me. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Welcome back. Like we were talking about earlier, what is the best way to get past a fear of failure? I think that it's important to emphasize why I was asking why in the last segment. Why actually helps you minimize the importance of the reason. Not with everything that you do in your life, but when I asked you why you're trying to impress someone or why you care about certain things, it helps to minimize the importance that you put on it. And I know it's important. I'm not saying that it's not important. I know you have feelings about it. If you have a fear of failure, you have feelings about it. You have emotions about it. But hanging on to those emotions or those feelings and thinking that they're so important that it's going to be some sort of life-changing thing if you don't show up in a certain way or if you don't succeed, you know, whatever you define success as, is exactly what holds you back and what causes resistance and conflict inside of you to linger. And I hate lingering emotions. I mean, I probably shouldn't use that word, but it's true. I hate those negative emotions that linger. I hate them so much that it's important for me to work through and release whatever is causing that resistance. And one of the ways I do that, one of the ways I help process and release any type of conflict or resistance inside of me is I minimize its importance. And I do that by asking myself why. For example, I used to be a jealous person. And I would ask myself, okay, why am I jealous? And then I would come up with an answer. Well, I don't want her to go out with that guy. If she wants to dump me for some reason and she goes out with him, then I have to be jealous because I have to guard my place in her life. You know, I might have said something differently, but I think about it now. That's me trying to guard my place in her life and trying to shield her from seeing another person as attractive or more attractive than me or more special than me or more worthy of me. And so in order to get past jealousy and similar feelings, I would ask myself, okay, why am I jealous? And I would have that answer. And then I would come up with another why question. Well, why do you care if she breaks up with you? And of course, inside my mind, that's important. If she broke up with me, oh, that's just life ending. You know, at that time, it was life ending if she broke up with me. But that's the value I placed on it. Someone breaking up with me was life ending. And that's how I defined it for a long time. It was also happiness ending. It was just life changing. And I don't think it was going to end my life, of course, but it was definitely life changing. And it caused me to place a high level of importance on my thought process. So I would ask myself, well, why do you care if she breaks up with you? Just asking that question decreases the importance level in my mind. It's still important. Like, I'm not going to drop it. I still think it's important. But when I ask you that question, why is having a big failure a problem? You're going to have to redefine it in a way, because I'm almost telling you as if you are placing so much importance on it that you haven't considered rethinking how important or non-important it is. I don't know if that makes sense, but bear with me as we go through this questioning process. So I ask myself, well, why are you jealous? And then why are you worried that she'll break up with you? And my answer to that might be, well, if she breaks up with me, I won't be happy. Well, why is it important that you're happy? I'm going to ask myself questions that don't make sense, that I would even call stupid. In fact, I want you to ask yourself questions that are probably stupid. I want you to ask yourself questions that the answer would be, well, anyone would feel that way. I want you to ask those questions, because what we do is we end up putting ourselves in a box with, quote, anyone. Anyone would feel that way, or everyone would feel that way. Of course, they would be upset if their significant other broke up with them. Okay, so why would they be upset? Of course, anyone would be upset if their significant other broke up with them. Anyone would be unhappy. And, you know, I might ask, well, anyone? Everyone? What if that significant other wasn't so great? Well, that might be a different answer. But in this case, I'm looking for you to ask yourself questions where you would have an answer like, well, anyone would feel that way. Because when you can ask yourself those specific questions, you take anyone out of the equation. And when you take anyone or everyone out of the equation, all that's left is you, and the answer to the question is now specific to you and how it affects you. And this will be a different answer, because you can't use your old fallback of, well, anyone would feel that way. That old fallback, that'll bury us. That old fallback response, well, anyone would feel that way. That really keeps us in that box. And if we never climb out of that box, we're stuck answering that question the same way for the rest of our lives, never exploring it, never minimizing its importance or decreasing its importance, and always believing that this is the way it will be from this point on. And I'm referring to the questions I asked in the last segment. Well, why is it a big deal? I'm asking it a little differently now. Why is it a big deal that you fail? And I might even follow it up in my own mind with, who cares? Which is very related to, who are you trying to impress? I mean, really, who are you trying to impress? Do you want to impress your mom? Do you want to impress your dad? Do you want to impress somebody else in your life? Do you want to impress your partner? Do you want to impress your boss? All of this outward energy that goes toward other people, trying to implant these perceptions in them, is a waste of energy. And I'm already hearing people say, but my boss will fire me. If I start showing up in a way that I'm not trying to impress my boss, they'll fire me. I'm not going to argue with you. That could absolutely be true. And I'm speaking from a perspective where I have tried both sides of this. I have tried putting on that mask for many, many years. And I've also tried being completely 100% and completely authentic and transparent. And if you've been listening to the show a while, you probably have heard that in me. You probably heard my transparency and have told you some of the things that I haven't shared with anyone. I haven't shared with at least anyone outside my close family and relationships. I never shared before my body image issues with anyone outside my close relationship or my family. But I came on the air and shared it with, 50,000 people at the time. And anyone that wants to tune into that episode and can still hear it today, that is now out there because I've minimized its importance in my life. I've minimized how important it is to me. And that can be very helpful in going forward and forgetting about failure, because I look at it this way. If only you and certain people know about something that you're self-conscious of or something that you fear, then the inclination is to hide it from the rest of the world. I'm going to put that out there. I may not be 100% right about this, but if you only want to share certain things with certain people and it's something that you're very self-conscious of or you fear or you don't want anybody to know for whatever reason, your inclination is to hide it from the rest of the world. What do you think hiding something from the rest of the world does inside of you? I want you to try that on. Think about something that you don't want the world to know. What does that do inside of you if somebody found out, somebody that you didn't want to find out about something that you're holding on to? What does that do inside of you? How does that feel? I'm going to assume that majority of people listening will say that does not feel good. I feel sick. I feel yucky, whatever. Now, erase that from your mind. And how does it feel to hold on to that and not share it with anyone else outside your intimate relationships, or maybe no one? Maybe you have secrets that you've told no one and you don't want anyone to find out because you're so self-conscious about it, or you just have a lot of fear around it. What does that feel like? Just holding on to it, even knowing that nobody's going to find out. What does it feel like holding on to it? Some people are going to be okay with it. Some people are going to be like, well, if nobody ever finds out, I'll be okay with it. I'm okay. It feels good. I have no problem with it. But what if it comes up? What if the subject matter that is related to what you're holding on to, what if that subject matter comes up? You know, somebody's talking and you hear some of those keywords that are related to what you're holding on to and you're thinking, I'm holding on to that right now. I don't want to tell anyone about that. How does that feel when that subject matter comes up? Because if it feels negative in any way, that's what's inside. That's what you're holding on to. Does that mean you should tell everyone everything? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that you should be absolutely transparent and vulnerable with everyone. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that it's good to be aware of what you're holding on to so that you know what you're holding on to. If you know what you're holding on to and you choose to be transparent and vulnerable about it, just like I chose to be transparent and vulnerable with several things that I've talked about on this show over the years, what ends up happening is that whatever you're holding on to disappears. This is the magic pill. This is something that so many people, if they were willing to take the risk to be transparent, it would solve so many problems. I know there are exceptions. I know that there are some people that will never tell that one thing to anyone. And that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't have your secrets. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to hold things in confidence, even if nobody else knows about it and just you. I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm just saying that if you are holding on to things that you fear other people finding out and you are carrying that negativity around, that the way to dissolve or diminish that negativity is to be expressive about it, is to be more transparent about it, is to share. I mean, this is why a lot of people go to therapy and they can tell the therapist anything, and then when they close the door behind them, they can breathe a sigh of relief, like, I finally told someone this stuff. I finally let it go. I'm finally able to release and move on. I'm not saying it's always that easy, but the idea that you hold on to something so nobody else will find out, and you just stay in this low-level state of resistance all the time, where you're just holding on and you resist telling anyone anything, you end up holding on to it, and it affects your life, bringing us back to a fear of failure. Because if you are so afraid of somebody either finding out something about you or learning that maybe you really are stupid. This is how self-talk goes, right? I feel so stupid, or I don't want to look stupid, or I don't want to look incompetent. I don't want to appear shy. I don't want to... All these things that go through our heads of what we don't want to happen is what we carry around with us, which is why I've spoken many times before about owning our faults, owning our imperfections. And in this person's email, he or she said that they were obese. Owning your obesity. Yeah, that's who I am. That's what I did. That's how I am. This is the way it is. Check me out. I'm obese. I'm fat. I'm whatever. This is all part of owning. I'm a tall, skinny guy, and a lot of people have called me lanky, and I hated that term. For many years, people would call me lanky. It just sounded like an offensive term. I'm lanky? What does that even mean? So I decided, well, I'm lanky, and I would just tell people, I'm tall and lanky. In fact, I have a defect in my chest that my chest caves in. How about that? You don't need to hear all this. It's too much information, but I'm being vulnerable. I'm being transparent so that I'm not holding on to it. When you hold on to things and you create a block on those things so the world doesn't know them about you, what you do is create a conflict / resistance inside your body, and you carry it with you. And then you have a fear that you carry around that if somebody finds out about that, they're going to think less of me. And that fear and that resistance all plays a part in how you succeed in life or what you consider a failure. Because as you make decisions and move forward in life, that negativity that you're carrying with you plays a part in your decision making. And if you suddenly said, well, you know, this is who I am and I own it, then something different is playing a part in your decision making. Your decisions aren't based on fear. Your decisions are based on what you want to do. And then if you do, quote, fail, that also wasn't based on fear. You never feared the failure. You just knew failure could be a result of what you did, but it doesn't have the importance. Who cares if you fail? Who cares? Get up and do something else, or get up and do it again. Have you ever ridden a bike? This is the most basic example. You've heard it before. When you ride a bike, you wobble and maybe you fall and maybe you don't. But everyone who tries to get on a bike for the first time fails because they don't understand the balance yet. They're not there yet. I shouldn't say everyone. Maybe there are some lucky ones out there. But most people who got on a bike for the first time, they, quote, failed. It wasn't a failure, though. Of course it wasn't a failure. You can't look at a kid and say, well, you failed, so you can't ride bikes. You just don't do that. What you do is say, well, you didn't get it the first time. Try it again. And if the kid wants to try it again, great. Now you're teaching them what it's like to not succeed the first time and then maybe succeed the second or the 22nd time. But there's positive encouragement throughout the way. This is what we need to do to ourselves. I just rode a bike. I fell off. I'm going to get back on. I just messed up this big report for my boss. I'm going to do it again. Or I'm going to say, hey, look, boss, I'm going to work extra tonight, and I'm not going to charge you for it. I'm not saying that you should do this. You should always get paid for the work you do. I'm just saying that sometimes you mess up, and it's okay because everyone messes up. And if you're around someone that knows they're perfect, then don't listen to them, at least as far as your meter of success, because perfect people aren't qualified to judge other people's success. They're not, because their standards will always be too high. Their standards will just be way too high all the time, which is why I love being imperfect, and I love having faults, and I love showing up as myself, as transparent, as vulnerable, and not ever comparing myself to someone who's better looking, has more money, has more knowledge, has more anything than me, because I'm not aspiring to be them or like them. I'm aspiring to be the best version of myself. That's what I want for you. I want you to be the best version of yourself. And that might mean you have different skills than other people, and you show up in a way that is different than other people, and you may get criticized, you may get judged, but damn, I make a good me. You make a good you. And I believe that should be your focus. So to the person who wrote this email, we could unpack this. We could go in 1,000 different directions with it. But I'm hoping that what I talked about today is a good head start for you. And I didn't get to too many other questions to ask yourself. I know I mentioned that in the last segment, but there's a lot here, like I said, and that we could go on for another hour. But I want to remind you also of the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is how things unfold and how much worse they can get. I like going through this process because it takes me way outside the box. The box that I was talking about earlier, you know, that anybody, everybody box? Well, anyone would feel that way, or everyone feels that way. We take ourselves out of that box, and then we go into the worst case scenario, which is diving in even further, and you ask yourself, well, okay, I lose my job, I lose my house, I lose my spouse, I lose my whatever. What's worse than that? And that's another way to get out of the box. What's worse than that? Oh, that's pretty bad. Yeah, but what's worse than that? Well, I could be living on the street. Yeah, well, what's worse than that? If I was living on the street, I could go hungry. I could freeze. It's freezing outside. Okay, that's pretty bad. What's worse than that? Well, I could die. I could die. And I would ask, okay, so now that you think about all these scenarios that unfolded, what's worse than that? What's worse than that? What's worse than that? Let's go back to the original problem of, for example, losing your job. Do you still feel like that's just as important as it was 5 minutes ago? Now that you've gone, you know, what's worse than that? What's worse than that? And now I'm dead. Do you feel like losing your job is such a big deal anymore? Well, I don't like it, but it's better than being dead. Again, we could unpack this all day long, but I wanted to take you in this direction today, and I hope that this has been helpful. I do have one more topic to talk about. I'm going to talk about in the outro of this show during the music, and I hope you get something from it. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you, and we'll be right back with my thank yous and goodbyes right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank the Great Courses Plus. Head over to thegreatcoursesplus.com/brain. Sign up and get your free month. They have amazing high-quality courses that you're going to love. And you get a free month when you sign up, so check them out. And also don't forget Best Fiends. When you've had enough of work, when you've had enough of learning, then you want to play a game. Just play Best Fiends on your mobile phone in the Apple Store or Google Play. I also want to thank the financial backers of this show, Robert and Kim and Daisy, Julie, Deborah, Stephen, David, Michelle, Brad, and Clarissa. So good to see your names. Thank you so much for your support. These are the patrons of The Overwhelmed Brain, and I read patron names every week to thank them for their financial support. I'm just so grateful. Thank you all. And of course, Bob, I'm going to thank you separately because you made a separate donation and it was a very generous donation, Bob. Thank you so much. And you wrote something which I think is a little humorous. I'm going to read it. It says, "Your podcast has been life-changing. I hope you get 1,000 emails like this. You deserve it." Thank you. Thank you, Bob. And I'm laughing because I think a couple of weeks ago I said, when I received that first email that said, "Your podcast has changed my life," or something like that. And then Bob sends this donation with this note. So thank you, Bob. I am very grateful, and I do hope it's life-changing. I really do hope this podcast changes lives and that everyone gets value from it. I really want it to reach everyone that needs it. You know, I could say, I want it to reach the world. I want to reach all 8 billion people, but not all 8 billion people need this. You know, what I talk about here, not everyone needs this, but I really do hope the people that need the information that is discussed on this show get it and get value from it, and it changes their life. So people like Bob and all the patrons that support the show, grateful for you. Thank you again. And if you find value in this show and you'd like to show your support, head over to moretob.com/brain. And there are a few options for that. And of course, if you decide to join as a monthly supporter, you become a patron over at the patron program, and you get some resources that I have over there as well. A bunch of episodes that I've never played on the air, and a bunch of workbooks and worksheets that I don't provide on my website. You might find them useful. So head over to moretob.com if that's what you'd like to do. And I want to mention Love and Abuse. Love and Abuse is another podcast that I do. It is about difficult relationships and trying to figure out what manipulation and emotional abuse and control and all that other stuff that talk about lingering emotions that you carry with you. If you're in a difficult relationship like that, you're going to be carrying around a lot of negativity. And Love and Abuse is where I talk more in depth about the toxic behaviors of other people in your life. It's not just about romantic relationships. It's about all relationships in your life. How many people have a toxic family member? I know I do. I have a couple, but it's for anyone in your life. If you have a difficult person in your life or more than one, and you're dealing with any type of bad behavior where you're just hurt or feel bad or sad or something after talking to someone like this, then maybe Love and Abuse will be helpful to you. Just head over to loveandabuse.com and take a look and a listen and see if that's valuable to you. And finally, I want to thank Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And the last thing I want to talk about is based on a question I received a long time ago, and I'm just going to bring it up now and kind of add it to this episode. A person wrote, "I loved your episode on the silent treatment, but what if speaking up is dangerous? And what if when you talk and you want to resolve the problem, you're just ignored and told that all you do is complain? I've been on both sides of the silent treatment. It hurts on each side. It hurts even more when you can't speak up and get it out. Very frustrating." All right. Thank you for writing that. And the reason I put it in the show is because we talked about being transparent and vulnerable. But what if you express yourself and you are ignored? What if somebody that you're around or with is dangerous? And maybe not physically dangerous, but maybe so, but definitely emotionally dangerous. This is what I talk about in Love and Abuse, is to pick your battles wisely. Because if you're having conversations with people in your life that leave that negative lingering feeling inside of you, you're probably around people that aren't empowering to you. In fact, they're probably disempowering, and they're probably leaving you feeling either worthless or lowering your self-esteem in some way, or you just don't know what to say to them because they're never happy, or no matter what you do, it's always wrong. When you're around people like that, my first piece of advice is don't use someone who puts you down as a source to define your worth. Let me say that again. Don't use someone who puts you down as your source to define your worth or your worthiness. Because if you do, you will be unhappy and you will be in an emotionally dangerous situation. And I mean that because what's going to happen is that every time you seek something healthy and positive from someone like that and you don't get it, you're exposing yourself to toxicity. In fact, I think I just talked about this over at Love and Abuse. It's your proximity to this toxicity that irradiates you. It makes you ill, emotionally speaking, and sometimes physically speaking. You can be near someone that makes you ill. And if you're near someone like that and you're looking for them to give you compliments or tell you that they love you or that you're worthy and that you're worth changing their behavior for, you can't seek that from those kind of people. They have to seek it in themselves first. They have to understand that they need to work on themselves, that they need to improve themselves, because if they're carrying around a behavior that causes you to feel bad about yourself, then they are not a good source for you. There are people like this. There are people that we've invested into in our intimate relationships or we are connected to, like in our family. There are people like this in the world that we've grown to rely on certain things from them, but sometimes we are relying on the wrong things. It's a lot easier to rely on toxic behavior from toxic people and not look for healthy behavior. This frees you so much. If you can let go of your expectation of any healthy or positive behavior from someone who always makes you feel bad, then you are liberating yourself. You will feel so much better when you stop trying to squeeze blood from a stone. This does involve accepting that that's who they are and they'll never change. I know this is probably not good news because some people have committed to the relationship they're in. Some people feel like they can't get out of the relationship they're in or the relationship with a family member or anything like that. But throughout this whole episode and throughout my show in general, I share with you what causes this negativity in your life and what causes you to feel anxious and stressed out and how it affects you and what'll happen if you don't let it go or move away from these people or find other ways to deal with them or find good coping mechanisms. I share all of this with you, not because I want you to automatically break ties with them and move away. It's not that at all. In fact, I just give you this information so that you can come up with the best plan of action yourself. And that could mean finally standing up for yourself and saying, no, I will not take that behavior anymore. That could mean that. It could also mean somebody else might be okay just ignoring the behavior, knowing that that person will never change, that they're toxic and they're hurtful, and they expect that behavior and nothing less, so they learn to live with it. I don't think that's always the best course of action, but some people do it. And if that works for them and they're not carrying around the negativity and it's not lingering in the background of their mind and body, then maybe it'll work for them. And then, of course, some people get to the point where they say, you know, I can't handle this behavior. They're not changing. I'm going to remove them from my life no matter what it takes. All I know is that no matter which path you take with certain people in your life, when you finally deal with it and you expect nothing more than what you're getting, you free yourself to make decisions that are right for you. You clear the path to a more fulfilling, satisfying, and maybe even happier life. Just like I was talking about earlier with the job example, yes, you could find yourself quitting or getting fired because you show up as who you are. That doesn't mean you show absolutely everything and you're transparent about everything. I'm just talking about the behaviors or your personality that you're afraid to show people because they might have a judgment about it. When you can let that go and just really be comfortable in your own skin and really be comfortable that you are imperfect, that you are full of faults, you free yourself from all the constraints that we put on ourselves because you're no longer thinking about how you're showing up to other people. All you're doing is accepting who you are, limitations and all, and allowing that to be your truth, which in the end is the most powerful way to show up and leads to a more successful, fulfilling, and even happier life. There's always so much to unpack in these episodes. We could go on and on, but I wanted to leave that with you, and thank you for joining me today. And I want to remind you, always keep an open mind, because this is what helps you step into your power. And when you're empowered, you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.